Welcome to Women Writing Men. This is episode 20, a special episode where Mariah and I each read individual books that we hoped would be romantic and were not.
Or we're kind of.
Yeah.
Or we're like hinting.
Mine is technically a romance, but not right. Not not in a way that we can talk about.
Okay. Mine was a series. And what we've discovered about series is sometimes, like, the romance is, like, it's going to come later. Like, you could tell, oh, here's the guy that the romance is going to happen with. But nothing really happened in my book.
Yeah.
With him.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about him, but.
I'm Delaney. This is Mariah. I forgot that. So we didn't both read the books. Mariah only read Mariah's book, and I only read my book, which is actually a book that Mariah gifted to me. I think we're going to start with yours.
Sure.
What's it called?
Yours, Mine, and Ours, written by Mary Janice Davidson.
Okay. And wait.
Okay, go.
I'm going to say, just like at the beginning, the book I'm going to talk about is Miss You by Kate Eberlin, but it's probably going to be like a while.
Yeah. Before we started the podcast, I was like, I'm not the person who keeps track of the things. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I got to look up the book. Looked up the book to get the author's name because I didn't know her name. And found out that I read the second book in a series of books. Which makes sense because they reference many characters.
You didn't know at all?
No. But anyways, what I was going to say, which I remember now, is these are when, like, both of these were female authors. So the only fail was that they weren't romantic enough.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's get it going on a short summary of this very complicated book. So, the main character has three names. Here we go.
Mariah picks the hardest book for Mariah. Because she can't remember one character's name.
So, the main character's names are Cadence, Shiro or Shiro, I don't know how to pronounce it, and Adrian.
Okay.
And every chapter is a different... She has multiple personality disorder. It's not actually called that, and it gets talked about that that's not what it's called anymore, but I can't remember. So
a dissociative identity?
Yeah, I think so. So, like, every the chapters change when a new... identity comes into play. So Cadence is like the majority main character. She seems like the typical girl. And then there's Shiro, who is like angry, I guess, is like her key quality. Angry and like, I guess she's like the powerhouse of the three. And then, well, I don't know, maybe Adrian's powerhouse too, but Adrian's kind of like crazy. Like when she comes out, really bad things happen.
Okay.
So the movie or book, this is a book, starts with Cadence waking up and there's a dog and like all of the dog's fur has been shaved off and this woman is yelling like, you shaved off my dog's fur right before the national dog competition.
Wow.
And she's like, I guess Adrian shaved this dog. And she just wakes up in the situation. So she gets arrested, and now she's in jail. And then her partner, who is her work partner, shows up. And this is when we discover, if you'd read the first book, you'd already know. But this is when I discover that she is an FBI agent.
Wow.
Yes.
That seems risky. We have the FBI.
Well, the thing is, everyone in her department has some kind of really insane mental health disorder.
Why would the FBI have that?
Because the best people to solve mental health disorder, like serial killers, are people with mental health disorders.
I don't know about that.
I really questioned that. I was like, this can't be real. Like, she has this, just like, she's getting arrested all the time because of Adrian doing crazy things. And her partner, I feel like he might have been a sociopath.
Okay.
Like, he doesn't care about anybody.
Yeah.
And then they get a new partner later on, because they're basically trying to solve a crime, which maybe was in the first book, too. But it's the June boy, JBJ, I don't remember what it stands for. And JBJ basically boys that are like teenagers are being murdered every June.
Okay.
And they're on the case. And they bring in a new woman on the case to help them because they have been really struggling.
Probably because of their mental health.
And the new woman, whose name is Emma, mm-hmm. her problem is that, I can't remember what it's called, but when she can't look at her own reflection because she thinks that it's, like, her enemy.
Oh.
And when she sees her reflection, she, like, attacks herself in the mirror.
Okay. That doesn't seem like a really valuable skill for the FBI.
I don't know. She's really into murders. Like, when Cadence meets Emma for the first time, Emma's like, what's your favorite murder? And Cadence is like, that's weird.
That is.
Okay, let's see some of this plot. I wrote, I'm not going to do this in chapters because, again, Cadence has long chapters, but then, like, Adrian has chapters that are just like, the dog is here. The dog is here. Ha ha, dog. Ha ha, dog. Ha ha. Like, they're not sentences. They're just, like, statements. And they were really short, so I was like, I'm just gonna not...
Yeah.
I'm just gonna just write stuff down.
Okay.
I wrote, I don't understand why a person with multiple personality disorder and a sociopath would be solving crimes. Seems like a dangerous game. Like, at one point, she talks about her partner gives off murderer vibes. So, anyways, I don't know how this happens. This is going to be just so confusing, but...
Maybe it's explained better the first book.
She likes to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she just goes... No. No.
She has to go to
she's
the hospital?
She's always at the hospital because she gets into shenanigans when she's in her other personalities. And she, Cadence, feels really guilty about, like, what they do when they take over. So, to, like, make up for it, she gives a lot of blood. Like, she goes to donate. Also, she, like, says, they have to give me so much blood, it's like I'm just giving my blood to myself.
Okay.
And when, at the blood clinic, Adrian, crazy one, like, really likes the blood clinic. So, like, it's a safe place.
Okay.
So while she's at the blood clinic, she meets the new doctor of the blood donation area. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe he's the doctor of more things. But anyways, he's the love interest.
Okay.
His name is Dr. Gecko. But she also has a boyfriend who was briefly mentioned. And I was like, clearly, like, you're introducing Dr. Gecko for a reason. But what about her boyfriend? I was very confused. So her boyfriend, whose name is Patrick.
Okay, good work.
Is really good for her because he loves all three of her, which is the first time...
anyone has ever done that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, he is really into the fact that she has these different personalities.
Weird.
And his last name is Flannery, which I only wrote down because last book we read, also the main guy's name was Mac Flannery, and yeah. I was like, what are the odds? Yes.
Also, that, like, really speaks to, like, how your memory works. Like, it has to be jogged. Like, because I don't think, if I had just asked you what...
his name was?
Nothing.
Nothing. Would not have gotten that. Okay, so, back to the crime.
Yeah.
I feel like I've introduced all the characters now. The only one whose name I didn't say, which I probably should, is her partner, whose name is George.
Okay.
So there's George, Emma, and Cadence, and Cadence's personalities. Mm-hmm. And then Dr. Gallo, who's the doctor, and Patrick.
You said his name was Dr. Gecko.
It's Gallo. I don't know what Dr. Gecko is. Did I write that up here?
I don't know.
I did, but it's definitely Dr. Gallo.
Excellent.
Okay, so there... the three of them are like, who could this killer be? Mm-hmm. And then Dr. Gallo ends up a suspect.
Okay.
Because his nephew was one of the boys who was murdered.
Okay.
And he's just moved into town. And he's, like, really, like, on them to solve the crime.
What town?
I don't know.
City in America?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a bigger one. Maybe
okay.
Boston.
Okay.
Maybe Chicago.
Okay.
No clue.
Okay. That's fine. I was just curious.
It's like, a real town, though.
If it was America or...
It is America. And they think he's maybe the sus, like, you know, that typically people are murdered by their...
Close
people. Yes, except for the thing with the JBJ killer is that all the boys have nothing in common except for their age, and they're all white. Mm. But, like, nothing about, like, location or, like, socioeconomic status. It's just, like, one boy every June, white. And I think he's, like, 13 or 14.
Are they found in, like, this city?
Oh, they're found in the same way. They're found in brand new clothes.
Oh, okay.
And they're found in the same... So the killer kills them and changes their outfit.
Oh, okay.
Into, like, jeans and a t-shirt or something. I can't remember.
Okay.
It becomes important.
Okay.
So they suspect Dr. Gallo might be a suspect, so they tell her, who, like, is always at the blood clinic, to go talk to him, and she's super excited about it. Because she's like, ooh, I get to talk to him.
About him being maybe a murderer.
So she goes to talk to him, and she's really into him. But she questions why she's so into him, and she's like, it's probably because I'm finally in a serious relationship, and so I'm, like...
trying to not be anymore.
Well, what do I write? Not believing it will last, so she's, like, keeping her options open because, okay. I guess, typically relationships haven't gone well for her. I wrote, she's turned on when listening to Gallo talk about his dead nephew.
Fantastic opener.
I wrote, that's a strange time to be turned on. But she brushes it off as getting turned on at weird times because she's still a virgin. So, interesting fact about her virginity. She's still a virgin, but the other personalities are not.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, she's the only one waiting. And they never make it clear if, like, the other two have had sex with Patrick, maybe. Or, like, other people.
That's very interesting. I'm very curious why she hasn't had sex with Patrick.
I wrote the next thing. Ah, the truth is out. She doesn't love Patrick.
Oh.
She loves that Patrick loves her.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, ah, well. Like, I don't know if she recognized that, but I read that and I was like, that's your problem, girl. Mm. You can't love... him loving you is very different than you loving him.
Yeah.
Literally, these notes are so random. I'm like, okay, we're moving on. She talked to Dr. Gallo. Nothing came of it other than she got turned on. They have not concluded anything about him. And I've concluded that she doesn't love Patrick. And then I write, the motto of their department is, set a thief to catch a thief. Set a psycho to catch a psycho.
The thief one can almost work, but... I just don't think... I find it really weird that that's a department. I could do it, like, with a high-functioning sociopath, but then you have, like, a normal person babysitting, not the person with a dissociative identity disorder babysitting.
Mm-mm.
The psycho...
sociopath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, she's back at the department, and they get a letter from another serial killer. And this is where I go, ah, that would have been what the first book was about. Because this other, it's this, like, trio of siblings that are serial killers. And she, Cadence, killed one of the three, which I guess must have been probably the whole plot of the first book.
Probably.
And the other two are now, like, writing a letter to her, telling her, like, tips and, like, giving her hints on who the JBJ killer is.
Why?
I don't know. Because set a psycho to catch a psycho.
Oh, they're all just friends then?
Well, from what I can tell, one of the three serial killers worked at the FBI place, not as an FBI person, but as a janitor.
Okay.
And that's how they found out about serial killers. I don't get it. Okay, anyways.
Okay.
The serial killers are helping them. They're not really impressed because they're like, we couldn't figure this out on our own, but, like, they gave us really useful hints. And the hint was, you're wrong. Like, all of the assumptions that they were making, because I guess one of the assumptions they said is, like, white people typically kill white people. Like, and men typically kill men. I don't know. But, like, the patterns of the murder, they were, like, following the patterns. So, like, in one scene, they went and interviewed, like, a white man that didn't have an alibi or something. I don't remember. Because, like, white men kill white men. And the
That is such weird logic. If only they had, like, a real detective. Like...
And the serial killers that sent them the letter were like, all of the assumptions about who kills who are you that you're using are wrong. And so then they were like, maybe it's not a white man.
Why did they assume it was?
And they're like, we have to reopen the database and start looking for other colored people.
What?
So now while they're waiting for the database to run to find new suspects, she goes back to Dr. Gallo. Mm-hmm. But this time she's Shiro.
Okay.
And Shiro's like super into Dr. Gallo. Mm-hmm. She's like extra like, oh, Patrick, Dr. Gallo. Ah. Mm-hmm. And they go on a motorcycle ride instead of talking about the crimes.
Excellent.
Like the fact that these are like so disjointed because somehow they have a dog. Oh, right.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
Oh man, so many other things. This book, literally, they packed in so much. Where was the romance? Nowhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so the white man they go to interview, mm-hmm. he was abusing his dog.
Okay.
And Adrian really likes dogs, so like Adrian came out and like attacked him and like really physically hurt him and then stole the dog. Mm-hmm. So now they have a dog because I guess they're just keeping it. I don't know.
Okay.
And Patrick is like looking after the dog, but he's acting really weird. I don't even know if this is relevant, but it's the comment I wrote, which was, he obviously has a secret about something weird that happened with him and dogs. And I don't even know if I write it down. Like, I feel like I don't go back to that later, so maybe you guys will never know.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, let's see.
Shiro also points out that Patrick seems to be attracted to the things that need to be fixed. Mm-hmm. Oh. I wrote more about the dog. I was like, this dog. So this dog has literally been abused its entire life.
Yeah.
And then Patrick has it for one day. And Bungie gets home from work. It like rings a bell to go potty.
What?
And Patrick's like, I trained it.
No! How?
That can't be. It's also a very friendly dog, which I was like, again, it's like not afraid of Patrick, which I was like, it should be because it's been abused by a man.
Yes.
And then Patrick just trains it to like ring a bell to go potty. And I was like, no.
That doesn't.
No.
Yeah.
Like.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Unrealistic.
Okay. Next up, they figured out who the murderer is.
Wow, we are flying.
We're almost at the end of the book. I really didn't write a lot of notes.
Alrighty.
This is like the most disjointed book I've ever described. Okay. So, oh, his secret. I did write it about it.
Oh, thank God.
So, but first, the murderers. I don't remember how they figure it out. I really don't remember.
It's probably not important.
But anyways, they figure out that this person in the South, this black 14-year-old boy, was, like, murdered. Or, like, basically executed for a crime he didn't commit. Mm. And his entire family became serial killers. So, like, every June...
They all just...
Someone is assigned to go find a 14-year-old boy, just like he was, or whatever his age was, kill the boy who's white to, like, racial stuff, and then, like, put him in the exact same outfit he was put in, like, that he was in when he was killed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how they figure it out.
Yeah. Does she learn something along the way?
Well, there's a new boy... that wasn't wearing the same outfit, like, for the first time. Oh, yeah! And then, wow, why did I write any of that down? And then, so they go to see the crime scene. Mm-hmm. Dr. Gallo shows up, and I'm like, why are you here? And they, like, let him in and let him examine the body. I'm like, that would not happen. Yeah. But anyways, The body is in a new outfit, so they're like, the serial killer is not following his pattern anymore. Why not? Mm-hmm. And then something's on the body that leads them to figure out all of this. And I can't remember what the thing is, but they figure it out. I think the fact that it's not in the same outfit makes them think, what if it's more than one killer? Mm. Because, like...
like, this person had to track down a different outfit and it didn't match.
Yeah. And then the other thing they find out, because this other, you know, someone who has mental health problems, mm-hmm. who also is at the department, mm-hmm. comes with them and he figures out that he, like, figures out more to the pattern and realizes that this has been going on for, like, 80 years instead of, like, the 5 years they thought or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Amazing that they didn't notice it.
Maybe it was because the last 5 were in their city and then, like, the other... I don't know, but they...
oh, or somewhere else, yeah. Or something? Okay.
Yeah, because, like, where this the black boy was killed was not the city they were in.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, they just... this family just travels around the United States killing 14-year-old boys.
And what do they do for work?
I know, like, I know what happens next, but I don't know why it happens. There's a lot of whys that I don't remember. So they didn't, now they know it's this family, but they don't, and they conclude that the one who did the most recent killing wants to be caught, like, because
are they like the new generation or something? Mm-hmm. And they're like, not, they don't want to kill people anymore, mm-hmm. as a family.
Well, what we find out, they, like, host a conference about him and, like, have fake speakers come to talk about the killer, basically to draw in the killer because they think it'll, like, lure the killer to the... I don't know, the killer wants to hear about himself.
The thing? Okay.
So they're, like, on guard watching, and then this, like, you know, middle-aged woman is one of the family members, and, like, literally so much... they must talk to her for a while because she reveals that her son is, she now has a son and she doesn't want her son to be in it. So she killed that boy and left the clues so that they'd be caught so that her son doesn't ever have to grow up to be a murderer.
Doesn't have to take in the gun, go out onto the family business.
Yeah. But in the meantime, another one of the family members, like, arrives and kills the mom and then shoots. I think at the time she's Shiro. Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And shoot Shiro. And then there's the murder is solved. They capture him. The end.
Okay, wait, what was the dog thing?
Oh, yeah. So that's the crime. They solved the murders of the June boys. Mm-hmm. So then the whole thing with Patrick, he asks them to move in with him. Mm-hmm. And then he gets all weird. And then they get all weird and then they're like, we're not gonna move in with him, he's being weird. Like, I can't remember what he did, honestly. It's just weird stuff. Anyways, he gets weird and he leaves, and then they're upset and they're like, Patrick's not the guy we thought. And then Patrick, his secret, which was not about dogs at all, but it was about his childhood, but it came up when they were talking about the dog, I don't know, was that he almost had a split personality too.
Almost.
Here's what I wrote. His big secret is his personality almost split too. Because he wasn't a child. When he left for university, his sister, who is also clearly irrelevant, but best friends with Cadence Shiro, Adrian, she was like, she had something too, some kind of mental health thing too. And when he left, her parents put her in a, like, insane asylum. Mm-hmm. And he felt really guilty about it, and his personality almost split.
Okay, so then they're just like, we're not dating Patrick anymore?
No, they... once he tells them the secret, they're like, okay, we're moving in.
Oh.
And then the book ends.
Nothing happens with the doctor?
No, like, nothing. Literally, other than, like, that she goes really on. Is attracted and, like, turned on. And, like, she feels nothing for, like, Patrick. That towards Patrick. Just, like, basically, like, content.
Yeah.
But with, she actually, like, feels things about with Dr. Gallo. And so, obviously, book 3 continues the story of Dr. Gallo. I've got some other notes in here, just, like, in general. She got her personalities after her mom killed her dad.
Okay. I'm surprised that they, like, mentioned that. It might have been, like, a first book thing that they might have been like, oh, no, people remember that.
No, they talk about it again.
Do you have more notes or is there overall thought?
Well, I have notes on, like, Patrick and... I wrote things about Dr. Gallo and Patrick. I mean, I got Dr. Gallo's appearance. I think it's the first book they don't talk about what they smell like.
It wasn't a real romance then.
So Dr. Gallo is attractive, but odd-looking. Like, he's always hungry.
What an odd look.
He has beautiful eyes. He has sadness lines. He has pronounced cheekbones. Halfway through the book, we found out his first name is Max, and she's into it. Patrick. He's tall. He has muscles. He has red hair and brown eyes. That's very, very, like, Patrick Flannery. That's, like, very stereotypical.
Yeah.
Because that would be Irish, right? Scottish? What was Max?
I think he was Scottish.
Yeah, but, like, red hair.
Yeah.
He always wears shorts, no matter the weather. Oh, he smells good, but his smell is never described.
How can we know if it's good then?
And he does seem like a good guy. I mean, we learn a lot more about Patrick, which you clearly...
I don't know.
No, but, like, he puts up with a lot from those three girls. Because, like, Shiro stood him up. Like, Cadence and him made dinner plans, and Shiro's like, I'm not going to that. I'm going to go hang out with someone else. And, like, the next day, Cadence is like, I think that we went for dinner with Patrick, hopefully. And then Patrick's like, you never came. And she's like, oh.
Oops.
I think Patrick also gets arrested.
Wow.
Because something she did. But then Patrick took the... Like, he, like, really cares about her and cares about his sister. But I'm pretty sure that Dr. Gallo will be the
guy.
The guy. Yeah. And that's all.
Did you like it?
I don't know. I don't really know. I don't think I would read the other
ones.
Like, the next book.
I think that probably indicates that it's not necessarily your thing.
It was definitely not one of the worst books I've read for the podcast. The one comment that I put and didn't talk about, which I'll talk about now, was I wish that it wasn't, like, they talk about Obama, and I was like, this is, like, the real world. And I wish it wasn't, because it would have made it more, like more...
you could have believed it?
Yes, because it just was like, this isn't how things happen.
Yeah, this just really isn't how things work.
Or maybe they are, and the FBI is just super secretive about how they operate.
And they're just operating like these just terrible... They're making bad decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because... just didn't feel like
a thing.
And then they confirmed that it was really this world. I mean, it was always a city in America, but you can...
Yeah, you could kind of act like it was...
an alternate version of America.
You could suspend your disbelief
better. And then they were like, Obama's president. I'm like, no! Now it's really real. So yeah, that's right. What I would say.
Moving on to Miss You by Kate Eberlin. This one, Mariah bought it for me, and it is a romance, so it starts with the two characters, Tess and Gus, and they meet briefly in Italy, and then, like, 400 pages happens, and they meet again in Italy, like, 20 years later.
Wow. So do you hear about both of their lives?
Yes!
Okay.
You ready to hear about Gus and Tess's very, very separate lives for a very, very long time?
That's such an interesting way to do a book.
I know. Okay, so August 1997. They're both 18 at this time. And they are each from England, but on vacation in Italy. Mm-hmm. She's there with her best friend, Doll. She's, like, doing this trip, and then she's supposed to go to university, and it's all going to be grand. And Gus is there with his parents, and his brother, Ross, has just died in a skiing accident. And, like... they are just, like, they're on vacation, but very subdued and not feeling it. And
Gus's family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they briefly, he goes for a run in the morning, and she is, like, exploring this church, and he walks into the church and turns on the light, and they look at each other across the church, do not speak, and then move on with their lives.
What? That's it?
And then, briefly, Tess and Doll ask him to take a picture of them somewhere, and he does. And then they
Did they get each other's number?
No. And then they mention that there's like an ice cream, a gelato place nearby, and he goes to get gelato hoping that he'll like run into her there, but then she's gone, and then they're just gone, and they just have gone their separate ways.
Wow.
Yeah. I forgot about the whole like taking picture exchange until the very end, and I was like, did they only look at each other in a church? So yeah, that, you know, they interact and it's like, okay, obviously these are our two people, because like, why would you bother describing this interaction if yes. it wasn't relevant?
Yes.
And so Tess goes home and her mom is not doing well. Her mom has cancer and she's got like a 5-year-old little sister named Hope. So then it like alternates between their two perspectives. He's thinking a lot about his dead brother as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're back to Tess's perspective and her mom died.
You and I always seem to laugh when people's misfortune befalls them.
I...
When we're talking about it in the podcast.
I mean...
Her mom died.
This part, actually, like, I was reading and I was like... Like, I had started it and it was just like, yay, we're in Italy and there's going to be a crush. And then it's just like, switches to Gus POV. Brother's dead. Like, and everyone is sad. And then it switches back to Tess and it's like, mom's died of breast cancer. And I'm just like, I don't know if this book is what I thought it was going to be.
Okay. So they're both distraught. What happens yeah. next?
Tess has to take care of...
the 5-year-old.
Yeah. And so she's not going to university anymore. Because the dad is like, he works, but he like goes to the pub a lot. And just, he's not equipped to take care of a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's like, she has this brother... who is gay and dances.
Is he younger or older than
her? He's older. She's got two much older brothers. One is in like Australia and the other's in New York or something. Both of them like don't really get along with the dad. So like she really has to just deal with the sister. Yeah. So then Gus goes to university and he meets this girl named Nash who like is in the room that Tess would have been in. Like, cause it had Tess on the door, but then she took it down and put Nash on it.
Oh, and okay.
And then he's going to medical school because his dad is a dentist and Ross was going to go to medical school. And so he's going to go to medical school, but he's not like, his heart isn't really into it, but he's just like, this is what I have to do. I have to go to medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. So now it's just been like, Tess is just like, it's so hard to parent a 5-year-old. Fair. She's like 18 and like, it's hard to parent a 5-year-old, but it's just like, oh no, I lost her while we were out shopping. Like, this is what this book is. Like, there's, like, a whole chapter where Tess has just, like, misplaced Hope. Can't find her. And it's, like, the worst thing that's ever happened. Which, like, it's kind of hard. And there's, like, a lot of, like, her just grieving about her mom.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Like, that's what these chapters are like. Now, so we're switching to Gus. It's still 1997. I don't know.
That's when you said. That's the time you said.
Yeah. And so I have to tell you about this really weird... He's just, like... He goes home for Christmas. And... Ross's girlfriend, Charlotte, is her name. So Ross's girlfriend, Charlotte, comes over and, like, brings a present to the mom. And the mom's like, wow, thank you. And it's like, and I'm like, this is the weirdest, most awkward interaction. Like, I get, like, for her, like, she...
For who? For Charlotte?
Charlotte, like, she felt like she should do it. Mm-hmm. But, like, the parents are just, like, sitting there, like, yep. And I'm like, that would just be the worst. I can't imagine anything worse than, like, going to do that on Christmas Day. And Charlotte is also going to medical school and they're all like, wow, you're gonna do medical school, that's crazy. And she's like, yep. And then the dad's like, I'm gonna go have a round of golf with my guy
because on Christmas Day.
Yes, because the house is like sad and awkward. Yes. And like not a fun place to be.
Yeah.
And so the mom is like, Gus, you need to go with your dad. Because she suspects that the dad is going to see his mistress, who is, like, a dental hygienist.
Is it real? Does she really have a mistress?
Yes.
Okay.
And so the dad had, like, the mom was the dental hygienist for the dad, and then they got together, and then, so the mom is like, I'm pretty sure he's seeing the new dental hygienist.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Gus goes with the dad, and the dad's all like, yep, me and, what's his name, are gonna go over here. And so Gus just kind of, like, he ignores it and he just like lets it slide sort of that his dad is clearly going to see his mistress.
Uh-huh.
And like he's like, oh, my brother totally would have like, my dad and my brother would have had like, this would be less awkward if it was them, but he feels like he kind of got his dad's approval because he ignored the fact that his dad's cheating on his mom.
Okay.
And I know, this seems really weird. Not worth mentioning. It's going to be relevant later.
Okay.
And it's also, like, he thinks about the ski accident, and basically, like, they were both at the top, like, him and Ross, and he was, like, Ross was like, I'm going to go for one more run down this, like, hard slope thing, and Gus was all like, don't, that's dumb or something, and but didn't try very hard to stop him.
So he blames himself?
Yeah. But, like, it was more like Ross was, like, being all like, haha, you can't come do this, and Gus was like, whatever, I'm just going to go. And so it was, like, because he didn't do what Ross said, he, I don't know. Anyway, he has issues with that.
Okay.
But he went to university and he was like, I'm not going to tell anyone about my dead brother. Because he feels like a little bit, like, with his family, he feels like he's in his dead brother's shadow.
Mm-hmm.
But I switched to Tess's POV. Tess cries a lot about missing her mom. Sorry, it's just like this is what Gus is up to, and this is what she's up to, and this is what I'm in for with this book. yeah, and then Doll, Tess's best friend, is like, she's dating this guy who's like gonna be this famous footballer player.
Which is soccer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So yeah, they're in England.
Yeah.
And so Doll is like having sex with Fred, and like Tess finds out, and Tess is all like, I'm a virgin and I have to care for my sister, and like I don't get to go to university.
So just like bitterness.
Yeah, she's like sad about that. And then she's also like, I've been so sad and like caring for my sister that I'm like missing things in my best friend's life, right?
Yeah.
Parents are sad at New Year's over Ross.
How long is there between perspectives?
It's
like you flip back and forth already, and it's still just 1997.
It's still 19. Like, this we've is got New 19 Year's.
More
like
years.
That was yeah. This is gonna be a while. Sit back, relax.
All right.
So Gus, yeah, because his parents are sad and he doesn't want to hang out with them, he goes on a date with this girl Lucy, who he met at university. She's also in the medical school thing, and they have sex. And yeah. And they're like, it's. I think it's his first time and her first time, mm-hmm. and they have a lovely first time together. Oh, okay. Gus goes for a long run around England, and we just look at England for a while. And then Gus has this friend, Marcus, who isn't...
There's a lot of characters, too.
Yeah, it doesn't... Marcus doesn't matter.
Okay.
But basically, he, like, tells Marcus that he hasn't told Lucy about his dead brother Ross. I'm sorry, I'll stop using names.
I'm sorry,
Gus.
I missed all, I was like thinking of that and then also realized that I introduced George and then never spoke about him again. I was like this is the most terrible description of a book I probably have ever delivered, but because of that I got really distracted. Say your sentence again.
I also, similarly, me naming Marcus, not necessary, but yeah, so Gus doesn't tell Lucy about Ross because he's like, I want to reinvent myself as not
this
the guy.
Is with really, it's just a bad idea.
Just wait. Also, like, he, like, hangs out with Lucy's family and Lucy, like, gives him a sketchbook and he just, like, whips out a sketch of her. Like, just draws her on the spot. And I'm like, boys don't... Like, it's such a weird character detail to just throw in there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially...
But he likes art.
I guess.
It's plausible. You but like art. You're good at
this
art.
This is, like, chapter 9.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've had no mention of it. And then all of a sudden, he's just like...
Is he going to go to art school in the end?
No. I'm just going to tell you no. Tess, we're 1999 now.
This has actually been 2 years.
Yes. That was like 1998.
Christmas?
He draws Lucy and doesn't tell her about Ross.
Okay.
And then 1999, we're back to Tess.
Okay.
And so Hope has, like, Tess has gotten a job at the school where Hope is as, like, a teaching assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's starting to become clear that Hope, like, there's something a little weird about Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it... gets to it later in the book, but basically she gets diagnosed with Asperger's, and so she's kind of a little bit autistic. And so this guy comes to the school and he, like, DJs a dance for the kids or something. It's really weird. and he's called the Music Man. Mm-hmm. And so Tess ends up, he ends up asking for Tess's number.
And then she dates the Music Man.
She dates the Music Man. And Dahl, that guy that Dahl was dating that was supposed to become a famous football player, has become a famous football player, and she has this huge insane house. Uh-huh. And it's just really weird and unrealistic. I don't know. But yeah, that's what's going on in Tess's life. And then the Music Man is going to DJ at this wedding. And this wedding is Lucy's sister's wedding. So Gus is there. So they're both there. And I'm like, oh, it's happening. It was not happening.
Do they see each other?
They look at each other. And I think they have like a 4-second long interaction. And then nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. He sees Tess, like, kiss the Music Man. And because he's, like, passed out drunk in the garden or something.
The Music Man or Gus?
Gus is.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're skipping to 2001. This is when Hope is diagnosed with Asperger's. 2001.
They're, like, 22 now.
Yeah, something like that. Keep in mind, it is the year 2001.
Okay.
Gus is now out of school and doing, like, his rotation thing or whatever doctors
Why
do.
Why did that happen so fast?
I don't know.
That feels too fast.
Just chill.
Like, after undergrad, which is 4 years, if you do it quickly, yeah. He would be 21. And then he has to do all of medical school.
Yeah.
He's not on rotation.
Okay, he's at a hospital.
Okay, whatever.
It's 2001.
This is just, either things are just unrealistic or the math, my math is off.
I don't know which it is, but it's 2001. He is in a hospital for some reason. Doing, like, he's a student doctor still. He's not a real doctor or anything.
But you still have to do medical school before you go to be a doctor. I only know this from Grey's Anatomy. Maybe it's different in England.
I don't know. So Gus runs into Charlotte, his dead brother's girlfriend.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And there was this lady sitting in the waiting room who had a blood clot. And he was like, this is a really serious blood clot. But no one was taking this old lady seriously. So he, like, put this call through or whatever. And then Charlotte ended up being the blood doctor who came to deal with the blood clot. Mm-hmm. And she recognized that it was actually really serious. And so she was like, good job. You did a good job here. Now, he is having trouble with medical school and is like, because obviously he doesn't really like it.
Yeah.
And so he, like, I think he sees Charlotte out smoking and basically takes up smoking because he's like, whatever. Also, it's specifically September 2001. 9/11 happened.
Yeah, okay.
9/11 happened. And he sees it on the TV, and Charlotte is there.
And well, like, she's watching it too.
Yeah, and she is so incredibly attractive because she's like, the way they just describe her is she's like blonde and she has like these stockings and she's super hot. And so he ends up going for drinks with her. And then goes home with her, and he's like, it's 9/11, the world is ending, I'm gonna just sleep with Charlotte.
If the world was ending, you'd come over, right?
Yeah, and he's still with Lucy, and he has been for like 5 years.
A long time now. Except for Lucy still doesn't know about his dead brother.
Yes.
Has Lucy met his parents? Like, does he say, don't talk about Ross?
I don't know, I don't understand. So he sleeps with Charlotte like once, and then he ends up running into her at the hospital again, and he's like, this is weird. How is it that I never saw you ever, and then all of a sudden I'm seeing you twice? This is crazy. And then she's like, get in this closet and fuck me. And they do it again.
Okay.
Oh.
They should really make a Grey's Anatomy British edition. Like, a hot doctors with accents.
Yeah. They should.
That's what this sounds like.
Yeah.
You know how many times people on Grey's Anatomy have sex in the closet? Like, almost every episode.
Yeah. Okay. We're on chapter 14. It's 2002 now. Okay. It's Tess's perspective.
Okay.
Tess is just on a visit to London with the Music Man. And at this point, they've been together for quite some time.
Yes.
And Dave says something which I had to nominate as the dumbest thing in this book, okay. But it turned out not to be the dumbest thing.
Okay.
Because when they met, he like was like, oh, I forgot something. And so he's like, when I left something behind in the hall, it was my heart. And he proposes to her.
Okay.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
does she say yes?
She like, I think she like doesn't right there, but like she does later or okay. something. But she does. They are engaged.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Doll and her football Man. Guy have split. I know. And now she's like, I just didn't want to be like the ditzy girlfriend of some major football player, and she's given up her like massive house or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But she's using the they weren't married, so she didn't get like a ton of money, but she still has like some money, and so she's like selling all her like fancy stuff, and she's gonna start opening a nail salon, which apparently at this time was not a thing because it's like 2000 okay. and nails weren't big yet. I guess
I don't know.
They portray her as like the inventor of nail salons, so
we were only six. We don't know what it was like back then.
I know. It was the days before nails existed. Maybe it was like just like the salons salon weren't aspect. Really a thing.
For where would people specific... get their nails done? Was Maybe it only for painting. The rich people?
Maybe they're just painting them.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what... It was a mysterious time, 2002. Moving on to 2003. Gus is still sleeping with Charlotte on the side while with Lucy.
Doesn't this make you dislike him, though? Like, the more this happens, aren't you going, Gus! Like, I don't want Tess to be with you.
That's the thing. I'm like, why are you doing this to me, author?
Yeah.
Like,
typically, we don't like the cheater.
Yeah, and Charlotte turns out pregnant, which I'm like, you guys are both doctors. Like, you should know how to prevent this. But apparently, she had some weird, like, ovary issue. That, like, she thought she couldn't have kids, but then turned out... And then she was like, because I thought I couldn't have kids, but it turns out I can, I'm going to keep it because I might not have another shot at this or whatever.
So now he's having a child.
So now his mistress is pregnant while he's still with Lucy. And so he asks Charlotte to marry him.
While still dating Lucy.
While still dating Lucy.
Where is Lucy?
Since they're both doctors, they don't see each other a lot. Okay. So, like... She's just doing her doctor thing, and he's just been banging Charlotte, like, all the time.
So he and Charlotte work at the same hospital, and Lucy works at a different hospital?
I guess she must, because otherwise she would see them banging all the time. I don't know.
Okay.
So then he gets... This is my favorite part of the book.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way.
Okay.
So he gets a call from his parents, and his mom, or his dad is like, can you come back to the house? And so brings Lucy to his parents' house, which apparently he has never done before. They've been together 6 years,
uh-huh.
and he's never done this. And she finds out that he has a dead brother. And she's like, what? This is crazy. And then his parents are like, we're separating because your dad's banging the dental hygienist. And, like, he's like, oh, that's really sad. And then him and Lucy are, like, staying the night there. And so they're sleeping in his, like, childhood bedroom.
Yeah.
And then he's like, by the way, my mistress is pregnant and I'm going to marry her. And Lucy's like, what? And I was like, Jesus, Lucy. Like, this guy is such a terrible person. Why is he like this?
Maybe they're giving him a redemption arc. I'm hoping for this. I actually really, we can talk about it more afterwards because I have so many things that I realized, but like, redemption arcs are good if you get to the redemption of the arc.
Yeah. So then like, Lucy comes downstairs, like, I guess the next morning, and like her mom is like at the curb, like ready to pick her up basically. And she just like storms out past his mom, and his mom is like, what's Lucy?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we're splitting up. And the mom's like, is it because you're cheating on her like my husband is with me? And he's like, yes. and then he just goes and marries Charlotte.
Wow.
They just go to New York.
Okay.
And get married.
Do they live in New York now? Or just
no,
like...
they just went to like have like a courthouse wedding.
Because they can't do that in London?
They just wanted to go to New York.
Okay.
Can you just let them go to New York?
I want to go to New York, so fine, I get it.
And then there's like this weird thing where I think it's implied that him and Tess like pass by each other because he is like banging Charlotte in the airplane bathroom and Tess is like there with Hope and like Hope has to use the bathroom and like there's someone occupying the thing. But I was like, I didn't understand because I thought that they were banging on their way back and Tess and Hope were going to New York because, like, her chapter happens after. But I don't know. I was maybe confused. They might have been on the same plane, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
So, yeah, Tess is going to New York.
To visit her brother.
To visit her gay brother. And, like, I didn't love this plot line of, like, it's just the gay brother dances in New York and is all offended that his dad doesn't love him. Like, I was like, he's so... It just feels like a set piece, you know? It doesn't feel like a real person. It just feels like this is a character who...
We all know.
We all know. He's the gay brother who went to New York because his dad disapproved of his dancing.
Yes.
It's just like, I don't know. He wasn't that interesting. Yeah, so Hope is 11 by this point. So if you're keeping track of the timeline.
1997, 2007, 2008.
It's 2003.
Oh, because she was five, she was five. When she was 19. Yeah. I was starting her at zero in 1990.
Starting her at zero. Seven. Yeah. And then Tess has decided she wants to become a writer. And then she talks to her gay brother's boyfriend or partner. I think they're like partners.
Okay.
And
it's 2003. Maybe not.
Yeah. Depends on how things are going in the States.
I don't know when. I mean, in California, like in Modern Family, they did a whole episode where gays were allowed to get married. And it was like 2016 or something.
Yeah. They're probably not married. I'm pretty confident they're not married. But yeah, so she talks to her brother's partner about it.
About what?
Dave, who they're still not married.
Okay.
I don't know how long it's been since they got engaged. But she talks about that Dave wants to have kids. And she's like, I never want to have kids because I don't want to die and abandon them like my mother did with me. And then Sean, who is the gay brother's partner, is all like, sounds like you might have some hang-ups about your mother's death. She has like this whole thing where she's like, I'm going to go get tested for breast cancer all the time because I'm scared of having breast cancer. At one point, I think she's talking with Dave like on the phone or something. And another stupid line, she says, she talks about writing and she's like, because she wants to do this class because I might find it creatively fulfilling. And he's like, you and your big words. And I'm like,
what word was big?
Creatively or fulfilling? Because neither of those are that big.
That's great. Dave is an interesting guy, the music man.
Yeah. Speaking of Dave, he has been cheating on her with Doll.
Oh, Doll?
I know! I know! And so she finds out and she's like, I didn't even like Dave that much. But she's also like, Doll, what the heck?
Yeah.
And so then they are unfriends for a period of time.
Then become friends again?
They do, actually.
Do you think that you could forgive me if I slept with Alex?
Only if I didn't like him very much. I don't know. And that's the thing. I was wondering about that because she like...
Just didn't really care about David at all.
She didn't care that much.
Is her name Dave or David?
It's the music man. Okay. Yeah, it's a...
That still feels really hard.
Yeah, it's just like...
Because even if you don't like him that much, it's like your friend is like, supposed to honor you.
So now we're with Gus. It's 2005. So he has a daughter now because Charlotte has had her baby.
Mm-hmm. Are they married?
Yep, they're married and they're just like living...
Are they happy?
Kind of. Like, she works a lot and he like takes care of the kids. And they have,
kids?
Like, kid, there will be another one coming. But, sorry, I've warned you.
Spoilers!
Yeah, spoiler. So, currently they have Flora, who is their...
Do you like that name?
I think it's kind of cute.
I feel like that's a name you would like.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cute. And they talk about, he's all like, she's so beautiful and perfect. She's all blonde. Or she has dark hair like her mom. And I think I thought this whole time that Charlotte had blonde hair.
She had blonde hair earlier.
She's not. She's not. She has dark hair. I lied.
Okay.
Because I believed that throughout the entire book. Yeah, so Gus was, like, looking after her while she was young, and then he's, like, going to do general practice because he's a full doctor now. But he, like, taking time off, he, like, likes doing that because he doesn't like being a doctor. Uh-huh. And then this is when I discovered Gus had blue eyes.
Okay.
They mentioned earlier, like, Ross had dark hair, and Gus was, like, a redhead.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Another redhead.
I know, yeah.
both of our love interests.
Yeah, because Gus is short for Angus. So his mom has, like, gotten involved in his... Gus's mom has gotten involved in their life because he now has Flora. Uh-huh. And they talk about having a second child. And then I wrote, they have sexy sex because they want to have a baby. And that's, like, as far as them being happy, I don't know if they're happy, but they bang a lot. Yeah, so mm-hmm. there's that. We're back to Tess. She has the breast cancer BRCA1 mutation, which predisposes you to breast cancer and to, like, dying from it kind of early, like 50, 40. So actually quite early.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's, like, stressed about that. And she's like, I have it too. And she has, like, the option to, like, have her breasts removed prematurely. And there's all that stuff about it.
Yeah.
And then Tess is like, she finds this out and she's like, I really wish I had my best friend. But Doll is, like, busy marrying Dave.
For real?
Yeah.
Does, like, Doll actually like them?
Yeah. They're, like, married. Wow. Okay. They, like, really, like, they are good.
Good to go.
Yeah. So Tess starts doing these writing classes and she's, like, working at a grocery store or something. And she's, like, dealing with this breast cancer thing. And she has a writing teacher there named Leo. He will be relevant,
I assumed.
Yeah. So Gus has had his new baby. It's 2007 now.
It's been 10 years.
Yeah.
Halfway there.
Yeah.
What's his new baby's name?
Bella.
That was good.
Yeah.
Flora was better.
Yeah.
I was hoping for something good.
Yeah. And so Bella is, like, a redhead like him, and she has, like, crazy eczema, and she's, like, really challenging as a child. Like, Flora was really easy, mm-hmm. but Bella is, like, has all these struggles. And, like, she's not, like, Flora was a really pretty kid, whereas Bella is, like, she just didn't look pretty as a baby.
Okay.
And Charlotte wants to move into, like, a brand new bigger house because now they have two kids. And she has already, like, arranged it with his mother, basically, where she's like, yeah, your mother will take care of the kids during the day. She'll live in, like, the in-law suite underneath us.
Yeah.
And it'll all be great. And he's like, I don't really like my mom or want her to be that around that much. Back to Tess. Hope is 15 now. Tess's writing teacher offers to take her to a play.
Yeah. And they fall in love.
The note I have here is, I swear to God if she sleeps with her married teacher.
Is he married?
Yes.
No!
There's a blizzard. We have to share a bed tonight. That's what happens. And then...
What is up with these people?
Yeah.
Why are these the characters?
And she... So it was at this point that I was like, you're having the exact same thought, right? Is there a man in this book that doesn't cheat on their partner? Because the answer is no.
What about her dad? Tessa's dad.
Technically, they don't say that he cheated. So he's probably okay, but he's not, like, portrayed as a good guy.
Okay.
But there's just this weird thing. Like, I was like, why does every man in this book cheat?
Yeah.
Like,
what are the statistics on cheating? I don't know.
I don't know. And I'm like, is it, like, super prevalent in England? Like, is it just, like, everyone has a mistress in England? But yeah, I was just like, it's weird to me. It's weird to me that, like...
Everybody.
Does. Technically, Doll's football player boyfriend didn't cheat.
They just broke
that we
up.
Know of. But yeah, it just, like, I don't know, it was really weird and pervasive, and I was like,
I wonder, but still, because I, like, is it, like, but I was like, maybe they're trying to connect to an audience they think has been cheated on, but, like, do you, when you have been cheated on, do you fall for the guys who cheat?
Yeah. Or do you want to read a lot of books about a lot of men that cheat? Like, I don't get it. Okay, I have a terrible line, but I'm not even going to say it because it grosses me out too much.
Can I say it?
Yeah.
What does that say?
Odalisque? I don't know how to say it, but the next part is the
You
part.
Are my Odalisque, he whispered. And now I'm going to fuck you so hard you'll feel me for days.
That's what Leo
said.
Says to her, and she's like, yeah.
On their first encounter?
No, this is like, they started a full-on affair, and it's, like, ongoing.
Why would she do that? That's the other thing I don't, like, if you've been cheated on, I actually think that if you've been cheated on, the likelihood that you'll cheat on your bride grows up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Like,
yeah.
You know what it feels like.
Yep. And, like, so here's the thing. At this point, Tess is not, like, cheating, right? Like,
she's, no, but she's...
She's just with someone who is cheating.
Yeah, like she knows what it's like to be Leo's wife.
Yeah, she doesn't though. I guess, no, she does because Dave yeah. cheated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't, like, that's the weird thing about this book. I'm like, everyone does it. Like, it's so weird.
Okay.
But yeah, but the other thing is, like, the women in this book don't, and the men
Well, except for do. Doll.
But Doll isn't cheating on anyone. She is cheating that's, with someone.
I get it. So Doll's
the same way Tess is, the same way Charlotte is. Uh-huh. They're cheating with people, but they're not, like, cheating on anyone.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's just weird, like, that dynamic mm-hmm. that, like, keeps coming up. Mm-hmm. And then at this point, I was like, I am so far into this book, and they still have not met. Like, oh my god. Like, technically they've met, but they're not, like, they're not like, crossing
they,
paths.
They don't even know each other's names.
They don't know each other's names. They're, okay. like, they met in Italy when they were 18, like, and they've had so much life. So, yeah, it's 2008, and, like, they're about to move, Gus is about to move in with his mom, and he finds out that his mom has been just, like, giving alcohol to his, like, baby so that she'll sleep, oh. and then also getting super drunk and just passing out on the couch.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, it's weird. My baby was sleeping so well, and I couldn't figure out why.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and so he's like, that's really not okay. And Charlotte is like, eh, it's fine.
They're doctors.
I know! And so he's like, yeah, my mom's an alcoholic. We're not moving in with her. We have to do something else. But Charlotte wanted the bigger house, and so she's all like, I don't want to be in this tiny house all my life. He briefly visits with, he runs into Nash again, the girl he randomly met in university, and they're like friends now, and they hang out.
Okay.
And Nash is like, you should do art, and you should be a cook, like, you should, don't be a doctor anymore. And uh-huh. he's like, I have two kids, like, I have a life now. And then we're back to Tess, it's 2010, and Hope is 18 now, which is like, I'm like, holy smokes, it has been so long. Hope is like an adult. Like, I am just like, yeah. So Tess is still with Leo. And I don't know if she moves out at this point, but basically she meets this guy who like runs a music shop, and she starts working at like the till at the music shop while uh-huh. he like repairs instruments. And they're like, they like imply that he might be a little bit on the spectrum as well. But they basically, like, start dating, and they both love music, and mm-hmm. and things are going well. But then she, like, they have this, like, 18th birthday celebration for Hope, and the dad, like, implies, like, Hope is like, I want to do singing lessons. And the dad is all like, Tess, well, you should have just, why didn't you let Hope do singing lessons? And Tess is all like, because I didn't have money, like, mm-hmm. what? And they just kind of imply that Tess did a bad job with Hope, and, like, Tess is like, you dingbats. Like, I had so much trouble with Hope.
Uh-huh. Also, the dad should have.
I know, the dad could have done literally yeah. anything about yeah. that. But yeah, so then she's all, like, upset about that, and she ends up going to see Doll. And Doll is pregnant, and they, like, make up at this point. And she's like, it's fine.
Cool with Doll.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been quite a few years.
It's been
now.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Seems like.
Yeah. And then Tess, like, goes to meet Leo at, like, he has this, like, rental house or something that he, like, bangs her at.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, a weird, and he's like, this is our studio. And it's, like, this weird, sketchy, like, place. And so she goes there, and Leo's wife is there.
Like, just Leo's wife?
Yes.
Okay.
And Leo's wife is like, yeah, he doesn't want to sleep with you anymore. He sent me to come break up with you for him.
That's weird.
It's so weird.
Even just thinking about that whole, like, I don't understand why anyone would want to be the mistress in a relationship either. Because, like, you can't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so the wife is just, like, calls him Leonard. And she's like, Leo was short for Leonard the whole time.
Does that make him much less attractive?
Yeah. And Tess is like, well, like, he, like, the wife is all like, oh, was he going by Leo with you? He think he's like having this midlife crisis, basically, where he wants to seem all cool and yeah. whatever.
Okay.
But the wife is like, we're university professors, and, you know, we're companions. It's fine. I know that he does this, and I don't care.
Okay.
And it's just
so weird.
It's so weird. And yeah, so Tess and Leo are done.
Is she sad?
Yeah, she's pretty upset about it.
Okay.
Because she, like... The reason he says no is because now that Hope has moved out, Tess is getting her own place. And so Tess was like, hey, Leo, let's move in together. And then Leo's like, we're done. Sends his wife. So now Gus, 2010. Guess who else is having an affair?
Gus.
Charlotte.
So there is a woman having an affair.
Yes. It's Charlotte.
Okay.
And but like of all the women who are gonna have an affair, it's Charlotte. Like and yeah, so she's like seeing this guy named Robert, who's like a count in Switzerland.
A count? Okay.
And so he's like, yeah, I'm gonna, or she is like, yeah, so we're getting a divorce. I want to be with Robert now. And I want to take the girls to Switzerland. And Gus is like, oh no. And he's very, very sad. Like he cries and he's all like, I haven't cried about anything.
Since my brother died.
Pretty much.
So does she? Did they? Do they leave?
Yeah, they tell the kids that they're getting a divorce and there's like this awkward thing where she's like, don't you want to go to Switzerland? That's going to be so fun. And Gus is like, don't you want to stay here with me, your dad, and see me occasionally? But then, so they have like this whole thing about divorce. And at the very end, you know, he's like, were we happy? Like, what was the deal? And she was like, and they actually, he talks about Ross, like for the first time. And he's like, she's like, we had that, like, she's like, you didn't have to tell me what that, like, we never had to talk about it because we both knew that it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but she's also like, I wanted someone to take care of me. Like, because he was very, like, he didn't want to be a doctor, so he was, like, hardly working. And she was, like, bringing in all the income. And so this count in Switzerland, like, he's going to make it so that she can actually spend time with her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, that's what I wanted. Like, I wanted you to, like, look after me, and you weren't doing that. And he's like, oh.
Why didn't she tell him?
I know. Also,
what
like...
What is the gut reaction of, he's not doing what I want. Affair.
That's just how you resolve things as adults.
I also don't fully understand the whole, like, he should be able to go to trial and be like, you can't take my kids to Switzerland.
Well, that was the thing. Like, she was, like, the primary breadwinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she had all the money, and then she's also got the mom privilege. And so he's, like, not working a lot. So he could take it to trial and, like...
probably lose?
Yeah. Okay. And then he would end up paying a bunch of money, which he didn't have. He'd have to sell the house, which he wanted to keep in case the girls came back to, like, stay with him. And so... yeah, they had, like, they had this negotiation about that. So, like, he could have fought her for it, but then he would have ended up worse off, and, yeah, it wouldn't have gone well for him.
Okay.
So, we're on part four now, and this is when I yell, this is not a romance, I'm pretty sure, because they haven't been together! I've just been reading about their separate lives this whole goddamn book! It's Tess, it's 2012. She's taken up running because the Olympics are in London. It's 2012. I'm also like,
that's so interesting. The Olympics came here, and I was not like, what sports should I take up because the Olympics are in Vancouver?
I know. I thought that was the weirdest reason for her to start running, but I was like, sure, you do you. Like, so Doll has been doing fantastic for herself. She's got, like, multiple nail studios.
Yeah.
And so Tess is living above one and, like, managing one of them. And so she's living in a flat there. And she's getting surgery and, like, reconstruction of her breasts. And then she has done that already. Or she's going to do it. I don't know what stage she's at, but she's, like, planning to do it.
Okay.
And then she goes on this Tinder date. And this guy, like, this random young guy comes over. Oh, the other thing about her, she talks about making this Tinder profile, and Doll, like, tells her to go get professional headshots for her Tinder profile.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Like, I have professional headshots, but I have never used them for any of my online dating profiles.
Yeah, so she has this random hookup with this random dude, and then she's just laying in bed after touching her boobs, and she's like, I found the lump. And so she's like, it's time. And so then she full on is like, we're cutting the boobs off. Now it's Gus. It's 2013.
We're getting closer.
I know.
Did you know that it was 20 years when you started?
No.
Okay.
I had no idea. And every year I was like, is this the year? Is it going to happen soon? Like, and it just kept getting, like, by the time it was like, he's cheating on Charlotte, or cheating with Charlotte, and he's having a baby, and like, I was like, and she was like set to marry the music man. I was like, yeah. Bruh, like, yeah. This is not happening.
Yeah.
But I was still like, I'm this far in, I have to know, like, they have to reunite spectacularly. Like, yeah, so it's Gus's 2013. Gus finally goes to therapy to talk about Ross. a snap 20 years after. It's not, it's like 15. Oh, his mom says something mean, which I was like, I have to tell you about this because it was like so mean.
Okay.
But his mom is there visiting with the girls, and she tells them about Ross, and she's like, yeah, this is your Uncle Ross, and your mom, Charlotte, was supposed to marry Ross, but he died, so then your mom had to marry Gus instead. I know.
That's awful.
Isn't it?
She didn't have to marry him. She chooses to marry him.
I know. Like, but it was, like, very much implying that, like, she had to settle for the brother because the good one died.
I mean, I guess in the other, you could take it positively and be like, Ross was the best person in the world and Gus is the second best.
But it's still like, I don't know, that line, I was just like, whoa, yikes. So then he goes to a Rolling Stones concert. She's at the Rolling Stones concert.
Are they going
to
meet? No.
She faints and they take her to the hospital. And he's like a doctor. He's like, when they're like, is there a doctor? He's like, I'm the doctor. And he sees her and he's like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. And then he like tries to get in the ambulance to like go with them. And they're like, are you a doctor? And he's like, I swear I am. And they're like, that's not good enough. We're just going to go. And so then he goes to the hospital, but she's like in there or whatever. So then he like goes and like buys flowers. And he's like, I don't know her name, but can you like give these to the girl that came in? And he's like constantly like, I'm a doctor. This isn't weird. And they're like, it is weird. And so he tries to give her flowers and then fails because she like leaves them at the hospital basically and they never get each other's names.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, why?
So does he recognize her in this moment?
No.
He
just is like, that. This is an attractive person that has fainted.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I was like infuriated by this scene. I don't know. It's like, we're on part 5, though.
These parts are interesting, because it doesn't really feel like there's, like, new reasons.
No, for thing I...
Like, if they had named the parts, like, I don't know. Yeah. It just feels like there should have been, like, big mile, like, clearly, like...
Defined milestones,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, that were happening in each part, but it just feels like they're randomly, like, we're moving on, part 5.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's 2013, and her and Gus are at the same villa. She's on a writing retreat. He's on a cooking retreat. I forgot to mention that he's into cooking. He's been into cooking since college.
You did mention that Nash told him to become a cook.
Yes. Sorry. He's been into cooking since college. It's just something, which like, yeah, anyway.
But they don't encounter each other.
She tries to pick a tomato and then slides down a hill. And so he sees her for a second and then she... I was like, I kind of wish Mariah had read this book.
What the heck? I was just like picturing, like, there's this little, if off in the distance, there's this little girl on the top of a hill. And he's like, oh, a girl. And then she just disappears. And she fell down the hill.
Yeah.
What is his comment about it?
He's just like, where'd she go? Because he doesn't see her fall. He's just like, wasn't there a person there?
Do we hear her perspective of her falling down the hill?
Yeah, she's like, she just like slips and falls like on her butt, essentially. It's like a smaller hill. Smaller than you're picturing, clearly.
I'm picturing. Well, I went, there's, you know, by my house, there used to be, when we were really little, there used to be like this field. And there was a big hill and I used to go there. And one time I was there with Ivy, which is one of my friends, and Brennan, which is my brother. And
this exact situation happened.
And Ivy fell down the hill. it was on her stomach like Superman. Like the whole way. It was a really long hill. She was really injured.
Raya.
Just like there were bricks. There were bricks.
Rocks?
Rocks and sticks, and she was like all cut up. But it was really funny. And if you were on the other side of the hill, you would have seen a girl and then she would have been gone. Okay.
That one hurt me. Okay. Gus makes her something, like, because he cooks for the people that are doing the villa retreat thing, because they're all in the same villa. So he cooks this thing, and she asks him about it. And she's like, what's this green stuff in
so
here?
So they're talking to each other.
They're talking to each other, but they don't, he doesn't, he knows that it's her from the Rolling Stones concert, but she doesn't know anything about him.
Okay.
So he gives her this thing, and she's like, what is this green stuff? And he's like, it's basil. And she's like, what is basil? And I was like, Tess, how old are you? How do you not know what basil is?
It was, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty magical. So yeah, they like talk, but it's kind of awkward. And so she's working on a book about her experience with mom, breast cancer, and like raising hope. Uh-huh. And it's called something like Finding Hope or something like that. And then she's like feeling like someone talks about, they're like, you're writing about your life and it's going to be this like misery memoir. It's going to be like all sad stuff. And then they talk and they agree to get coffee. And then he ends up staying late to clean the kitchen and they don't get coffee.
Okay.
I know this is infuriating, but hold on. Then they go out to Italy, and guess what? They go into the church, and they recognize each other in the church. Like, he turns on the light, and she's standing there, and they, like, have a moment. And
so why are they in Italy?
That's where their villa retreat, writing retreat is, and the cooking retreat. Sorry, I maybe didn't mention that. And then he tells her about the concert and the fainting. And then they realize, like, he was like, you were here in Italy when I was 18. You were the one who told me to get the ice cream. And she was like, yeah, you were the guy I told to get ice cream. And then they go to get ice cream together. And then draws her. I wrote that, but I don't remember that happening. But he tells her that he's divorced. And they eat, like, a lot of gelato. Like, they get, like, each have a scoop with three flavors. Whoa. On it.
That's a lot.
And then they have another with three different flavors on it. Wow. And I'm like, guys, that's a lot of gelato.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he talks about Ross and she talks about her mom and they just like have this like crazy bonding sesh.
Yeah.
4 seconds into meeting each other.
Uh-huh.
And then they kiss on this same day that they ate all this gelato. And then they realize that they both like live on the same road in England. Like, she lives at this nail studio and he's living at the house that he used to have with Charlotte. Yeah. And it's like on the same road.
Yeah.
And then, so they're like having this intense day in Italy and then they're supposed to get back to the villa. And then the villa people, they are late and they're just like, whatever. I don't care about our class thing. We're just going to be in love in Italy. And then they end up going back to the villa because they need to sleep. And then they bang. And then he literally says he loves her. And proposes.
On this first day?
It might have been the second day, but it was like...
Within this
okay. Small Italy trip. And...
She says yes?
I think she's just like, yeah. I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah, and then I wrote, it's over, I hated it.
So interesting.
Yeah.
So what did you think? Did he get his redemption? It didn't really feel like he got a redemption.
Did it to you? Because no.
I mean, it seemed like he was sad about his wife leaving him, but that doesn't really equal redemption.
Yeah, I don't think he ever regretted cheating on Lucy. Like, he kind of learned, like, he learned his lesson about hiding the Ross thing, and so he, like, told her right away, which, mm-hmm. So he kind of did, he had two things that, like, he had option A, which was don't tell people at all, option B, don't talk about Ross, but, like, be with someone who already knows about Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, that middle ground where you actually just talk about the thing,
mm-hmm.
which I guess he learned. But, and the thing about Tess is she just was kind of like, I didn't care that much about her, right? Mm-hmm. Like, all this stuff was happening to her, and I was just like...
Yeah, you definitely seem to focus more...
Gus had a more interesting life.
Yeah.
That was the thing. I was like, Gus had all this crazy stuff happening, and so I was talking about it a lot.
Yeah. Where, but, like, some of her chapters were, like, she cried.
Pretty much.
She talked about breast surgery.
Yeah. And, like, she had things that happened to her that were crazy. Guy Leo. Cheating on her and Leo and all David. That.
It is so interesting, like, because there's a movie very similar to this that is, like, it's a will they, won't they movie. And mm-hmm. they're friends, though, to start. They know each other. They're best friends. The very beginning of the movie, she has sex with someone and the condom gets stuck inside her and she gets pregnant.
Weird. Okay.
That's the beginning of the movie. So, and she hides the pregnancy from this friend. They're supposed to move to America together. It's also set place in London. Mm. And she hides the pregnancy. She stays in London and, like, they don't
be
together. Yeah. But then the whole movie are moments of them reconnecting, but never, like, getting
it,
to
it
the...
It doesn't turn into
Yeah,
anything.
But there are, like, actual...
Things.
We are hanging out.
Yeah.
Things.
This is our relationship.
Yes. And then at the very end, of course, they get together. But, like, it's the same thing. He gets married. Mm-hmm. She has a kid. Like... There are things, like, separate, keeping them separate, but there's also a lot of, like, coming together, where this was, like, together was, like, they might have been at the airport at the same time, but they didn't see each other.
They were at a wedding at the same time at one point, but didn't see each other.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, like, them, yeah. And so, one of the things that, there's, like, a review on the back that is, like, the dramatic question is will they be the people they need to be by the time they get together? And I guess that was the central question of it, is like, will they grow into people that are going to be good together, that you can believe will
be good?
I
don't really know if I believe that.
I don't believe that. That's the thing. Like, I didn't see any signs. Like, they're like, Gus went to therapy. And I'm like, did it work? Like... Did he make any meaningful changes in his life? Like, on the one hand, it implies that by both of them going to do this retreat, like, she's going to do the writing retreat and he's doing the cooking thing, and they're both, like, pursuing their passions at this point, mm-hmm. as opposed to, like, doing the things they have to do. But another thing that bothers me about it is, like, I get this sense that it's, like, creative people need other creative people to be fulfilled. Like, if...
That was the vibe.
Yeah, like, if you're a writer, she needed someone like Leo, who also did writing, in order to be fulfilled as a person. Mm-hmm. And then, ultimately, she needed to end up with Gus, who was a creative person with cooking or drawing or whatever his thing is. And similarly, Gus was unhappy almost because he was with doctors and was in this doctor life that he wasn't meant to be in. And I just was like, they don't need each other.
No.
They just need to be creative individually.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be with a creative person to do that.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if it happened, but she was, like, pretty anti-children.
Yeah.
Like, did she resolve that, or is she just going to be the stepmom to these kids?
She's probably going to be the stepmom to these kids. I think they implied that by her dealing with her fear of death, she was kind of getting over her fear of having kids. Mm-hmm. She also, at the very end, she was like, I'm going to die young, probably because of the breast cancer, even though she had had the, like, double breast surgery, mm-hmm. double mastectomy, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's what he was like, let's get married. And she was like, I'm going to die young. You can't marry me. And he was like, I don't care. Even if we have a short life, like, it'll be worth it. Huh. And so the other thing, I kept comparing this one to Lonely Hearts Hotel, where they were, like, separate for a long period of time, but then they would, like,
Yeah.
And you would be like, is it going to happen? Are they going to get together? But that one, I really felt like I wanted them to be together. But they had this so much shared history as children
yeah.
that you were like, yeah, they're meant to be.
Yeah.
And it was all like, this one, I was like,
they don't know each other.
They don't know each other. They've never known each other. Like, I don't know that, like, you told me they're meant to be because they met in the church when they were 18. But I don't believe it still.
Yeah.
Like, I've read about their whole lives and I still don't know if they're meant to be together.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, the other reason I didn't have you read it is because I was, first of all, I was like, they just don't interact. And B, I was like, holy, Gus is quite a character. Like, I don't think I once found him attractive, mm-hmm. like, throughout the entire thing. I mean,
she kind of did a disservice, too, by naming him Gus. Like, start off...
a little stronger?
Yeah.
Yeah. That, and, like, it just felt like every chance, every shot he had to, like, do something that would endear him to me,
he didn't.
Or he did the opposite. Like, I felt bad for him, but that wasn't enough for me to be like, I like him.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. So,
there's special episode 20. We don't rate these men.
We don't rate these men. They don't deserve it.
Thanks for listening. Yeah. Don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Women Writing Men. Yeah. Or go to our Patreon.
Or go to our website.
Or go to our website. We just got all the things now. Yeah. It's growing.
Yeah.